Okay, so this passage that we're talking about this morning is a psalm, Psalm 139. And many of you may know, but some of you may not, that the psalms are a book of songs and poems. And so a song and a poem is unlike another part of the Bible that might be history. A song is not trying to prove anything. You're not asking someone after they've sung a song, prove those words that you said are true. A song is in the realm of feelings. It's experiential. And so we're going to look at this psalm this morning as the experience that David is having with God. It is transmitting across time this human experience that we all have the same feelings, even if we don't have the same experiences. So a good song plants memorable images in our head. And this one is full of it. I was knit together. So when you knit or crochet or do something like that, you can imagine God doing that. Or there is a hedge, a large protective barrier around me. And when you see these things, you can be reminded of God's presence and God's protection. A good song plants these images in our head that then when we see them in the world, we're reminded of that feeling. So the one that happens to me probably the most often is, I hope familiar to you, but do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wishing to start again? I cannot tell you how many times I've been driving on the road or walking on the sidewalk, and I see a piece of trash. I'm like, Katy Perry, I feel you. And that piece of trash means nothing before those words were put into a song. It is this transmitting of human experience, even if we don't know each other. Another one that comes to mind for me sometimes, which may be less familiar, but it's Aretha Franklin, and it's chain, 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 you chain of fools. You know, have you ever just looked at what's happening and been, man, that is so relatable. That comes to mind for me, I think, more often than it should in our world. So this is what I'm talking about, is we're transmitting these ideas across time. Sorry, my pages. So it's not the same experiences, but it is the same emotion, these pictures. And this Psalm of David is widely embraced. People paint it on their walls. People have coffee mugs that say these things. People get tattoos of this psalm. There's something about this psalm in particular that is touching our hearts. And I think it's because David is communicating, this God will never leave me. I am known, seen, understood, cared for, no matter what, even if I try to run away, even if I try to sabotage the relationship. We want that kind of connection and that kind of presence. And it's as if David is painting a picture of this God in contrast to all of his other relationships. The others, they don't really know me. They misjudge my motives. They aren't always looking out for me. They aren't always there. And they aren't on this long road of life with me. But God, you are. And those feelings of relationships with other people, those are things we can all relate to. Have you ever looked up the meaning of a song and been surprised by the context? All right, so we're going to play Name That Tune. Yeah, I'm not going to sing it, though. I'm just going to say one word at a time. And if you know the name of the artist, shout it out. The original. If I... Marquette is correct. If I should stay, I would only be in your way. I will always love you. Yes, Whitney Houston, but the original is Dolly Parton. And it may or may not surprise you to know, since you guys are from this part of the country, you may already know everything there is to know about Dolly Parton. But Dolly didn't write that for a romantic partner. Dolly wrote that for her longtime manager, Porter Wagoner, whenever it was time for her to move on. When her career with him was, they were splitting paths. And she wrote that to him saying, "I will always love you. You have been there for me. You've helped make me who I am." And though it might make us hear the song a little bit differently, but it doesn't mean that the feelings we were feeling when we always heard that song, that we were still feeling it, right? We still related to those words. It was a human experience. So our best guess for this psalm, although we can never be certain, is that David wrote this psalm just after he became king. In 1 Chronicles 13, it talks about David's first act as king. He rallied all the people, and he said, "Let's go and get the Ark of the Covenant." Which, in case you don't know, the Ark of the Covenant is a very old symbol. It's this golden box that was from the time of Moses, and it dwelled in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And it represented for the people the presence of God. So David, when he becomes king, he said, "Let's go and get it. Let's go bring it back to be among us. Let's go get the presence of God among us." And he makes a big to-do of this. They have a parade. They build a brand new cart, because that's how they traveled. So they built a brand new cart, and they go and they get the Ark of the Covenant, and they put it on the cart, and they're on their way back. And it literally says David is in front of the parade, and he's singing, and he's playing music in front of this parade. And then the ox that is pulling the cart trips, and the ark falls, and a guy dies. And everyone gets really freaked out. They abandon the project, and then the Ark of the Covenant ends up living in this random guy's house that's like nearby to where this accident happened, and everybody else just goes and walks home sadly. Like, what an embarrassing thing to start your kingship. So David has made this huge deal of bringing the presence of God back to the people. And in my own imagination, I imagine David sitting in his room alone writing this psalm. Where if I were David, I would be imagining, nobody's going to be able to take me seriously. Everybody thinks I'm a fool. Everybody's misjudging my motives. So David starts talking about distance with God. Like, if I were David, I would also want to ask, "Where can I flee from your presence in this embarrassing moment?" If we were going to do this with people in our own lives, it might look like, "If I stay home," instead of, "If I go to the Far East," or, "If I act like I'm too busy," or, "If I turn my phone on Do Not Disturb, maybe I can avoid all of the people, all of the embarrassment, all of the hard relationships that are happening in my life." But for David, he realizes in this moment sitting by himself that he cannot avoid the presence of God. Even this thing that represented the presence of God, that's not the real presence of God. And so David is saying, "Even if I stay home, you are there. Even if I avoid you, you are there. Even if I act too busy or turn my phone on Do Not Disturb, still you are there." And we do this in our own relationships when we feel hurt or misunderstood or embarrassed or feel like this relationship isn't really doing anything for me anymore. Or if we feel like we don't have the emotional bandwidth to fix what needs fixing. Where can I hide? Or where can I flee? These are very relatable feelings. And it just makes it sound a little bit different. this week we're talking about the ever-present God, but I think maybe instead of ever-present God, we should think of it as the relentless relationship. Because we have kind of this bad reaction to thinking that God is watching us all the time, that God is hovering over us. But David isn't describing that. David is describing this intimate knowing, this intimate relationship of care, where you knit me together, you cared for me, you see my thoughts before I think them, you know my intentions, you know my heart. So David is communicating that God is this relentless relationship. All right, so let's go back to our song illustration. And I want to confess something to you. One of the great questions of my life that I've not been able to solve is how in the world does a radio work? It really is. So I've watched videos about it, and I understand like the basic concept that like something's transmitting and something's catching it. And there's this electromagnetic spectrum, right? That the part that we can see, like that's color. But then there's also like the way the microwave works and the way that the TV works and the way that cell phones work. And it's all the same thing. So what I've grasped is something that is like the color red travels through the air slower. And then I stick a metal stick in the air, and then it sings to me. That's what I've got. And it sings to me in a language that I can understand. It's just a miracle. And this is really, really old technology, you guys. Like, this is one of the first technological advances. And it's just, like, that shouldn't make sense. Like, this invisible thing that is all around us, that are these waves that are flying through the air, transmit things that we can actually understand on the other end. But it's not just the radio. Okay, so I'm gonna go really into this and you'll see that like it's just crazy. Okay, so it's not just the radio. It's like every channel on the radio. And then there's XM that goes to outer space and back. And then there's also like every Wi-Fi router, right, is communicating its own thing, and all of the cell phones. And so if you think about just where you're sitting right now, and I checked yesterday, you can get like 20 different internet connections just where you're sitting if you have the password. And then you can also get every radio station, and there's different ones all around the world. And so this is the best image that I can get of this ever presence of God. These constant waves all around us that we are not attuned to, but are constantly there and are communicating things on a level that we can't see. And so this ever-present, relentless relationship of God is here in our midst all of the time. So next time you see a radio wave, think of that. No, I'm just kidding. But this is thanks, Mary. This is a really important concept for people who are unsure of where they stand with God, or if there is a God, or if there is anything at all that cares about them, or anyone at all that cares about them. That this idea of God that David is portraying, this feeling in this song, is that this God has seen you and has known you and cares about you, whether you are attentive to that or not. And it is something that is radiating around us all of the time. And we just have to tune in and listen to that. So let's look at this, where it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn or settle in the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Let's pray.